All right. Well, good evening and welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church for our services. If you could please stand, grab your hymnal, and let's turn to hymn 333. Hymn number 333. I have found a friend in Jesus. Have you found a friend in Jesus today? Let's sing out on the first.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him all I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my strength. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He all my griefs has taken. On the second.
He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows bore. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tie. I am all for him forsaken and all my idols gone. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Now, if you're like me and you have a hard time reading this fast, and it's, he all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows before, you know, falling and tripping over yourselves, just sing out to the Lord and really try and read those words as best you can. All right, on the last.
He will never, never leave me, nor forsake me. While I live by faith in him, his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, my hungry soul shall fill. Day sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever flow. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Indeed, isn't he the fairest of 10,000 to our soul this evening? Even fairer than that, as far as I'm concerned. It's good to be saved, a dear friend of mine used to say. And it's good to be here tonight, where we can worship our great God together. And trust that the Lord will enable us to lift up and exalt that lovely name of our Savior. Well, it's good to sing His praises, but it's also good to welcome each other in the Lord. So I think we ought to do that right now. Let's do it. Take a couple minutes.
Thank you.
now, as you head back to your seats, if you remain standing, grab your hymnal. We're going to sing. It's a surprise. Notice I have not put it up yet. We're going to sing something that you're never too old to sing, and something that we kind of push off on the kids, but we adults need to sing it every once in a while. Let's turn to hymn number 102. Hymn number 102, Jesus Loves Me. You're never too old to sing about how much Jesus loves us. Jesus Loves Me. Let's sing it on the first.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
The hand signals, you're never too old to do those either. All right, let's sing on the second. Jesus loves me, he who died.
Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Really watch those words. What a beautiful message in this song. On the last.
Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast laid in thy for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Oh,
stand one last time, please grab your hymnal and turn to hymn 328. Hymn 328. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, we're able to thank Him today. Let's sing it on the first.
Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I would praise Him for His grace, in prayer I would repeat. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free.
You know, it's real easy to just kind of start singing through these songs, especially if you know it. So you can look down on the verse. I know we don't all know the verse, but as we hit that chorus, if you'd like, please just close your eyes or just get out of focus and just start praying to the Lord, thanking the Lord as you sing out on that chorus. All right, truly thank Him. On the second.
Some thank Him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know He's mine. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me
praise the Lord on that last.
I trust in Him from day to day. I prove His saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise today until I see His face.
Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all take your places, we'll get ready for this evening's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. The ladies will be going to a ladies' retreat August 8th and 8th. Make sure you get that out there. 8th and 9th in Eufaula, Oklahoma. There will be a sign-up sheet in the back. And there is a sign-up sheet in the back. Let's see, the baptism they have down there, well, that's just a slight miscommunication. We got so excited about getting people baptized around here, they put it out there a week early. So that's going to be for next Sunday. And there we go. The TTU starts in 2 weeks. Preacher made a good announcement about that this morning. So for the folks, if you hadn't signed up yet and plan on taking it, if you just want to, just audit a class. So let's see, the men's activity on August the 2nd, I kind of kidded around to Brother Gabe this morning and said I couldn't announce this one because they're going to the Devil's Bowl. Now, if that's going to the Angel's Bowl or Jesus's Bowl or something like that, but they're going to go watch the Dirt Track Races. That's going to be on August 2nd. And we got VBS around the corner. And folks, we need some help passing the stuff out on that. We got a lot to do, and we got a lot of hands here, so many hands make like work. Appreciate any help that we can get on that. Let's see what else we got down here we need to know. Miss Renee, did you get all your schedules passed out? If you are a nursery worker. Miss Renee was looking for you to pass out her schedules for you. And we are still needing some help in that, by the way. And let's see. Miss Sherry Davison said on August 9th at 10:30, the elementary, that is sixth grade down, is going to have an activity. More to come on that. So there's still some in there, but hey, we can read on this one. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for us today. Thanks for everything you've given us, Lord. Thanks for a wonderful day you've given us today, Lord. Right now, bid the offering about to receive, bid the give, gift in the giver, Lord. And bid Brother Allen as he comes to give us your word. And Lord, please. I know we say it sometimes just out of habit, but to hide him behind the cross and give him the words you want him to say. Prepare our hearts and ask these things in your name. Amen.
Appreciate the music this evening. Appreciate that, ladies. Well, Brother Allen's going to preach for us this evening. I don't know if that's a warning or what, but no, I'm kidding completely. You know, I don't know, since I guess it was March, the Littles came and joined us here. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord adding them to our staff. They're a blessing to the staff during the week, and I think they are fast becoming a blessing to our church family as well. And Alan has been working hard in that gymnasium when the others of us aren't able to help. And I thought, well, you know how it is with the carrot and the mule. You know, for a preacher, I wanted to hold a couple carrots out there for him. So I said, brother, how about preaching for us Sunday night? And, you know, that'll keep you going when you know the Lord will let you preach the Word of God. You pray for Brother Allen as he comes.
Pastor, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. I appreciate Brother Turner allowing me to preach behind his pulpit here and to his church, and I greatly appreciate that. And I greatly appreciate them carrots, brother. And so before I get to the preaching tonight, let me give you a quick announcement about TTU College that's coming up. We have some great classes that will be offered here on campus starting in 2 weeks. And let me encourage you, if you don't want to take the class for credit, let me encourage you to audit the courses that we have here on campus. And let me give you what we're offering this semester. We're offering a short little mini master with eschatology with Dr. Wayne Huston. He'll be doing a great study of the end time prophecy and the look of that in Scripture. Let me encourage every church member and every teenager should be part of that mini master if you can come in and get that Bible knowledge there. Then we'll be having a theology proper class about who God is and what God is. And I'll be teaching that class. And then if you are a Sunday school teacher, if you feel called to the ministry, if you are a surrendered pastor to the Lord or a man that just wants to serve God, let me encourage you to take this course called Pastoral Ethics. It's a great class on the ethics of the man of God and his place in ministry. And I want to encourage everyone to be part of that. And that's going to be taught by Dr. Jim Turner. Then we have the church epistles. This is going to cover 1st and 2nd Corinthians that Paul wrote there. And Brother Charles Searcy will be teaching that class. And then we have a great one, Bible history and manuscript evidence. You want to dig into the Word of God, answer some unknown questions that you may have about the Word of God. A great presenter, Dr. Bruce Martin, will be teaching this class that we have. And then Greek. It's scary when people talk about Greek. They say, I can't learn Greek. There's no way that I can understand the Greek class. Brother Shannon Eaton presents this class in such an easy way that you understand the words that God penned in His Word, and you understand the structure of the Bible through this Greek class. And so let me encourage you guys just to come in, take a look at these courses, and see what they may be offered. Brother Martin, yes, sir. And then we have a Logos class, as Brother Martin mentioned, on September the 1st to the 5th. A great Bible program. It's like eSword that I encourage every Christian should have in their library. And he'll be teaching that class, and more information on that will be coming available. For guys that cannot come on Saturdays because you may be restricted because of ministry or working or family or whatever, we do offer 5 online classes in the theology disciplines right now. If you go to texastheological.org, you'll go to that website, click on courses, and go underneath theology, and 5 courses will open up. You'll be able to click on that course, and you'll have 6 months to complete that course at your own leisure and your own time. And so let me encourage you, keep supporting this ministry of Metropolitan Baptist Church, that we can continue to train others and also to equip the saints that we have here for the work God has called us to. So that's just a little brief statement about the college there. And if you have any other questions about the college, please feel free to talk to me after the service. And then also come over to the office or call me, and I'll be glad to explain anything that you may have questions about regarding the college. Yes, Pastor? That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up August 11th through the 15th, Soccer Vacation Bible School,
brought to you by Pastor Turner and Ministry in Metropolitan Baptist Church. We have Vacation Bible School coming up, soccer camp that was put on last year and was such a great success. That's coming up again. And folks, we still need help. There is a sign-up sheet out in the front foyer that if you would just sign up on the front, and then also there's one in the back hallway here. When you come in the door, please sign up on that to help. Now, when you sign up to help, you're not going to be outside with the children. I do need some inside help for a couple of the things that we're going to be having behind the scenes and also part of the services. So please come out and help. You say, Brother Allen, I can't help all week. Well, you know what? I can use you on the day that you volunteer for. And let me tell you, it's so rewarding. So rewarding whenever you can see a child either accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or you see retention in a family that comes back to Metropolitan Baptist Church because they came to Vacation Bible School. We also have flyers that we put out on the table. Let me encourage you, grab those flyers, and on your way to work, set those out at work if you would, or to your neighbors down the street. You may know somebody who has a bicycle in the yard or a kid. Let me encourage you to put those out, because it's coming up in 3 or 4 more weeks here, August the 11th through the 15th. And teenagers, I need your help as well. We need somebody who'll have a really good time. Nick, if you go to sleep, I'm going to stand on that seat and I'm going to preach right at you for the whole hour, man. So you better wake up and sit on the edge of your seat. All right? Thank you, man. I'm coming after you tonight, buddy. So get ready. You haven't got baptized yet, have you? I'm about to give you a holy sprinkling. Bless God. Going to sleep before I preach. What's wrong with you? At least wait till I preach, man. Makes me feel better. I'm teasing Nick. But that's Vacation Bible School coming up. And again, if you have any questions about Vacation Bible School, please see me after the service, and I'll be glad to get with you on that. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to need some help reading some passages of Scripture. I realize that we're in a large auditorium, and so if I could have some men that would be able to read a passage of Scripture for me out loud so that the readers can hear it. Also, I'll be up on the board so you can read along with us the Scriptures that we have. But if you'll be willing to read aloud a verse for me, would you raise your hand high for me? Brother Bruce Martin, will you turn to Matthew 5:22? Matthew 5:22. Brother Terry, Matthew 10:28. Another man. Brother Davison, Matthew 13:49-50. Brother John, Matthew 13:49-50. Another one. Christopher Little, Matthew 23:33. You have to read it loud and proud. All right. Someone else? Yellow shirt in the back, Matthew 25:41. Two more. Brother Dan, Matthew 25:46. And one more. What's your name?
Chuck.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. Old timers is coming quick. Mark 9:43-49, sir. Mark 9:43-49. All right. I've got Brother Bruce Martin, Matthew 5:22. Brother Terry, Matthew 10:28. John, Matthew 3:49-50. Christopher, Matthew 23:33. The gentleman behind Brother Terry there, Matthew 25:41. Brother Dan, Matthew 25:46. And Brother Chuck, Mark 9:43-49. If you would, take your psalm book and turn to page number 105 in your psalm book. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for giving me opportunity tonight to preach your word. I realize and understand that this is an honorable thing that you have allowed me to do tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that your message will connect with the hearer. Whether here inside of this auditorium, or whether by computer, or whether by any other means tonight, that your message will have an effect on the heart tonight. This subject tonight weighs heavy on my heart, Lord, and you understand. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we can see and we can understand the reality of hell tonight. So, dear God, I'm your man. I have your message and I'm yielded to you tonight. So please, may your word of God go through. In Christ's name, amen. 105 talks about rescue the perishing. Listen to the words of this song. Written by Fanny Crosby. If you know anything about Fanny Crosby, she was a blind lady who came to know Jesus Christ and wrote many a great hymns. And she penned the words, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from pity, from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. That is the goal of every Christian. That is the work that God has called us to do, is to rescue the perishing. God has not called us to standards. For if God has called us to standards, then my friend, the Amish have us beat. God has not called us to duty or to service on Him, for if so, the Muslim has us beat for their dedication to their God. God has not called us to the Institute of Learning, for my friends, the Catholics have us beat for their schools of knowledge and their tradition that they have. So my friend, what do we have with our truth that we lean forward to rescue the perishing from where? From hell. Why do we have Sunday school class? Why do we sing the song of the choir? Why must there be a pastor who preaches the Word of God from a pulpit? Or a Thursday night visitation program? Or for us believers to wear a different clothes, to talk a different talk? Why must we do these things in order to reach someone from dying and go to hell? Why do we have Bible schools? Why do we earn degrees? For knowledge's sake? So that we may say we earned this? No, that we may better equip ourselves for rescuing people from a real eternal hell. Look at Fanny Crosby's second verse of her song. Though they are sliding Him. How many people today are sliding the Lord Jesus Christ and the warning judgment call of hell?
Still, he is waiting. Praise God for that Savior who waited for me, who waited for you. He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead. Look at Fanny Crosby with her words and her compassion here. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive them. He will forgive if they only believe. That is a struggle. I sat down across from Pastor's office in his chair and I said, Preacher, isn't your heart just broken? We can pray for someone to be saved. We can pray and we can do all things and we beg God to save their soul. But God will not save until they believe. He will not cast His salvation upon some man. You're not predestined unto salvation. My friend, it's up to the sinner to believe. Look at verse 3. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Why? Because of the love that you have one for another. Loving. Wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Amen. The greatest preacher of all time that I know was Jesus Christ. Let me see. Do I point it a certain way, preacher? They've got it. Got it. All right. Jesus was the greatest hell preacher of all time. It was not D.L. Moody. It was not Billy Sunday. Nor is it a great revivalist in Billy Graham who was the greatest preacher on hell. The greatest preacher on hell was Jesus Christ Himself. While on earth, He spoke no less than 14 distinct times in the Bible about describing hell. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. And hell and judgment are either referred to or described 190 times in the New Testament. I think that's kind of important, wouldn't you think? A kind of theme of the New Testament. Now, look at the next one here. It said this. If we were on a highway 260 miles long and we're trying to cross through Louisiana and we're trying to come back to Fort Worth, we wouldn't diverge down to New Orleans, would we? We would keep going straight to Fort Worth. Amen. I don't know why I said that, but I'm going to keep going. If we were on a highway 260 miles long, and on that highway there were 190 signs warning of danger, surely we'd have brains enough to seek another road, wouldn't we? See, the Bible is full. The New Testament is full of warning signs about hell. The only place we can learn about hell is in the Bible. Science knows nothing beyond death. Human experience does not reach beyond the grave. Now, science, right now, there is a lab somewhere in the world that is trying to figure out what happens to you when you die. You read books about it. What happens in the afterlife? You see people trying to understand what happens. Does your soul float out of your body? Do you stand before God? Then we have the human element in it. We have people who see a bright light. We see testimonies of books of children that may have gone and they saw something and can record an unexplainable event or bodies hovering over an operation table and can say what's going on. But the most familiar one is that they see a bright light and they saw something. My friend, the Bible tells us plain and clearly to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And my friend, there is no out-of-body experiences that you'll come back from. It's so funny that all the people who come back always talk about seeing heaven. And the ones that you hear talk about heaven, we're the ones that talk about a burning hell. And my friend, human, tries to explain the experience beyond the grave. If those on earth are ever to know what is beyond life, they must learn it from God, not from a book, not from a television show or a talk show host. Let me show you a few examples of what the Bible says about hell. And please note, all these statements that we are about to read are from the Lord. If you can't believe what Jesus says about hell, then my friend, you cannot believe what he says about heaven. If you do not believe what Jesus is about to say in his own words about hell, you cannot believe what he says about salvation. And if you cannot believe what he says about salvation or heaven, then my friend, you question the mere deity of Jesus Christ. You might as well take John 1 out of the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You might as well just rip that up and throw that page out unless you believe what Jesus Christ says about hell. Now, my friend, don't tell me how much you know. Show me how much you know about hell. Because our actions should dictate what we know. When I go to a surgeon and I want surgery performed on me, I don't want the surgeon that can tell me how to do the procedure. I don't want the surgeon that can tell me how to set up the procedure. I want the surgeon, the heart doctor, that knows how to go in there with his hands and fix and correct the problem. The same way, if we're called Christians and we believe about a burning hell, then we need to be doing something about it. It's an unfortunate society that we have more Christians worried about makeup than the soul going to hell. We have more men that is worried about a status inside of a church for a position than it is about a soul going to hell. A church is more concerned about what happens with the money of the church than a little boy or girl dying and going to hell. What's going to matter one day when that soul stands before God? Is he going to look at this service? He's going to look for one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood of Jesus Christ on them, they will die and go to this place we're about to read about. Look at this here. Brother Bruce, read for us Matthew chapter number 5, verse 22. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. My soul. How many fools do we see today that walk around the malls? Teenagers, how many fools do we see today that walk around your school and your neighborhood? And just by their mere actions and their dress, they scream out, there is no God! And there awaits for them an eternal judgment, hellfire! The fool has said in their heart, there is no God! And though they say it, there is still a hell that they're going to. Look at the next verse here. The Bible says, Brother Terry, in Matthew 10:28. Isn't that our goal that we try to do is we try to tell the ones, don't fear what man can do unto you, fear what God can. Fear what the judgment, the judge of all judge can do. He can either pardon you or he can punish you. Even though the grace has been applied and the payment has been made, if they will not willingly accept it, they will die and go to hell. Read for me, Brother John, Matthew chapter number 13, 49 and 50.
So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Did you catch the last part of that verse? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. We're about to see more about wailing and gnashing of teeth here later. But Christian, if that doesn't do something to your soul, man, I check out my soul. But there are people in hell today that are wailing right now. In hell today. And you know what brings it closer to home? I have family members that are in hell today screaming from hell. My blood is in hell tonight. because they did not accept this Savior that I know. And every day I live in His rich graces knowing that there is a family member that will never be pardoned. Because there is a hell that people go to. Rescue the perishing. If not for a show, if not for a status, at least for your family that you know that have gone. Read for us the next one, Brother Chris.
Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?
You can run all you want. You can hide and you can play games. But my friend, there comes a day that you will stand before God and you will not be able to hide. You'll not be able to hide. Read for us the next one. As a father, I would never dare look at my kids and say, get away from me. I would never cast out my child that I love so much. And here, many people will devote their lives. And in this auditorium tonight, there are many of you that have gave time to a ministry. And when you die, you will stand before God. And for all this love that you feel for God, and for all this emotion that you had, you have an emotional experience, and you're so excited, He's going to look at you and say, I never knew you. You're not none of mine. You're not of my blood. And cast out from among them. And how many will wail in that day? Read for us, Brother Dan, Matthew 25. Everlasting punishment, hell is eternal. Brother Chuck, read for us the last one, Mark chapter number 9. Every verse we just read, if you noticed in your Bible or if you were looking on the screen, are the actual words of Jesus Christ describing a place of judgment. All the words we just read were the words of Jesus Christ, not only describing a place of judgment, but describing a place of torment. And the words that Jesus Christ said here in the book of Mark give us such a vivid description of hell fire and where the worm dieth not. He said it's better for you to cut your hand off than to burn in a lake of fire, to pluck your eye out, or to burn in a lake of fire, to cut your foot off, or to die in the lake of fire. I was an emergency room nurse, and I really liked working in the emergency room. It was kind of fun, all the different things you would see in the emergency room. It wasn't the same monotonous thing that you would go through. I will never forget this one night. This one night, we had a trucker who came in who had an accident. And it was just a little minor accident, but it caused him to have a heart attack. There, we put everything in. We started the drip on him, and there, a doctor was getting ready to send him up for a stent. Well, all of a sudden, inside of the room, he coded. And as he coded, all of a sudden, he started screaming, I'm on fire! fire. I'm burning. I'm burning. And see, before I heard stories of this, where people scream like they're dying and they're going to hell. And see, he didn't say he saw demons. He didn't say that there were angels carrying him away. All he was screaming is that he was burning. My first reaction of a burn is if anybody ever had an IV infiltrate on them, that's where it goes outside of the vein and it runs up into your arm. It burns like fire. And man, when you got epi running and that thing pops open, it burns inside. So that was the first thing I was thinking. His vein blew on his arm. And so we got a new site and we started going through. But he kept screaming he was burning as they took him off to surgery. And my spirit said within myself, maybe he was screaming because he was about to prepare to meet his maker. And he didn't know Jesus Christ. Now, that's only my assumption. I don't know. The man wound up making it, and I never went back to ask him about his burning sensation. But I vividly remember that he was screaming, that he was burning all over his body. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 16. And again, I will read the words of Jesus Christ. Everything I've read to you tonight are not the words of a disciple, but not the words of Paul, but the words of Jesus Christ talking about hell. Right now, there is a debate over this passage of Scripture that I'm about to read to you. Some scholars believe that here in the book of Luke, that this is a parable that Jesus is telling to the Pharisees at this time. And in the use of a parable, they don't use actual places. They don't use actual names of people. And it's a story that God gives to explain a spiritual truth. See, Jesus Christ gave many parables about heaven, for the kingdom of God is like. But I believe this is a true story that Jesus Christ tells of an actual people and an actual event because he uses the name Lazarus that is here. And one of the scholars' rebuttals are, well, he never gives the rich man's name. My rebuttal to that remark is when a man dies without Jesus Christ, you are no longer known. The reason why you are no longer known is your name is not written down and recorded forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says that you perish, that you cease to exist, so you are no longer relevant to Jesus Christ or this world. So why would Jesus mention this man's name? Because his only existence is in this place of torments and in hell. But we're about to see another man named Lazarus who was carried away into Abraham's bosom. But no matter the debate on either side, one thing still remains true is that there is still a literal hell and people die and go there every day. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That means he ate good every day, guys. He had all his needs met. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We see the condition of Lazarus here, that he is in such a poor condition that he cannot swat away the dogs that is licking on him, licking the pus, cleaning off his sores off of his body. This is very relevant for a verse that we'll see later. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Number one is there is a reality in hell. And Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Number one, the reality of hell. The rich man also died and was buried. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 9 with me. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. One day your life will terminate. You are going to die. Everybody is going to meet their death. Matter of fact, right now the world is trying to prevent themselves from dying. They come up with this stuff called anti-aging cream. Anybody know what anti-aging cream is? Amen. I remember as a little kid, my mom had this stuff called Avon, Mary Kay, and this wonderful word called Oil of Olay. I thought that was pretty neat. And it came in a little white tub with a black cap. And she would unscrew that, and she would take this stuff, and she would rub it all over her face. And she would leave it on and she'd do her business. And it was so funny. If somebody knocked on the door, she would say, go answer the door real quick. Because she couldn't go to the door with this white stuff all over her face. And then that stuff would harden. And then all of a sudden she would peel that stuff off of her face. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing, Mom? She says, oh, it's my anti-aging cream that helps my wrinkles go away and makes my skin so fresh and beautiful, trying to stay young. I was like, that is so cool. Well, several years later, I was out doing something, and there was this guy mowing his grass outside without his shirt on. And man, let me tell you, he did not have a bodybuilder's physique. He had these skin rolls that were hanging down. They were hanging over his side. And he's just pushing his mower with his high socks that preacher wears, his little gym shorts. And he was out there going. And his fat rolls and his wrinkles were all there. I had a great idea. What would happen if you rubbed all of that facial cream all over those rolls and then peeled it all off? Would it make all that go away too? You know, anti-aging. Nobody wants to die. Man, Ted Williams. Anybody know who Ted Williams was? Man, he was a baseball guy. He was a hero. I tried to collect his baseball card. Then the Fruit Loop got an idea of freezing himself. He was going to cut his head off and freeze it so he could come back again. People just saying the wildest and craziest thing so that they can live longer. The truth behind everything, you want to know why they want to live longer? Is because they don't want to die and go to hell. For you see, all of us who are believers in this room, we fear the pain of death, but we don't fear dying. You know, if I fall down on the ground and die right now, I'm okay. But I sure don't want to feel the pain of that heart attack, the fear of drowning, or the burning inside my flesh. I don't want to have any of that inside of me. But you know what? I am okay to die. Why? Because I know that I'm going to avoid a place called hell. Everybody tries to stop from dying and how to live. We have another group of people. They don't think that they're ever going to die. We call them invincible. These are our young men and young ladies. They'll get inside a car and go 100 miles an hour down a road, not thinking that they could possibly die. They'll do crazy things and crazy stunts that we'll laugh about and suck air in because of what they do. And they don't think that they're going to die. And what we see this as is the fool that says, eat, drink, and be merry. One of the most famous tracks created by Chick was called, This Was Your Life. And in that we see a man who had everything he ever wanted, that did everything he wanted to do, and then he died like the rich man. And he died. But you see, one day you will die. And when you die, you will have to face the judgment that is there. Hell is forever. One day a little kid asked Billy Sunday, he said, Billy Sunday, how long is eternity? He looked down at the little boy and said, Johnny, eternity is if this little sparrow you see up in this tree flies all the way around the world and hits the rock of Gibraltar with the tip of his wing. And as he makes his way back around home again, he goes around and he hits the tip of that rock again. As that sparrow goes around and he keeps tipping that wing until that rock of Gibraltar gets rolled down, Johnny, you still haven't hit a day in eternity. Jesus Christ said, hell is forever. Hell is forever. Look at this. We see the termination of life. We see the torments of hell. Let's keep reading here in Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. Verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We see a man who is in extreme pain. My friend, you are not going to party in hell. Hey, my friend, there may be a highway to hell, and you're going to see your friends, but you're going to be burdened. My friend, shame on any of you Christians that listen to that sick AC/DC music and he screams about hell and how fun it's going to be, and we see the torments of hell that is sitting all over every unbeliever. This man is screaming in pain, and Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou, O sinner, thou, old unbeliever, art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence." Then he said, a missionary-minded man in hell. Then he said, what did he say from hell? "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send them to my father's house. For I have five, not one, not two, but five unbelieving brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have the word of God. Let them hear the word of God." "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent." Jesus Christ said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." There was one who came from the dead, and yet they still do not believe. And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Jesus Christ mentioned the torments of life. He mentioned three distinct sounds in hell. Three distinct sounds that he said were in hell. We know there's fire, and we know that the worm does not die there. He said there are three sounds. Sound number one is weeping. Sounds number one is weeping. We all understand what crying is. When you get hurt, you hear someone crying. Wailing is in hell. People screaming out in pain and in agony. They're screaming, "God, save me!" Unfortunately, there may be some in hell that are not screaming, "God, save me," but profanities and cursing and blasphemy to this God who would send them to hell. And they're hearing this in hell today. Teenager, keep playing the game. Young adult, keep playing the game. Hey, man, woman, keep playing the game. For you see, I played the same game you did. And when the preacher preached on hell, I got up and I went to the bathroom. I hid out in the bathroom stall until they let church out, so that I would not get saved, because I was so burdened by the Holy Spirit. The only direction I kept going was backwards. It wasn't until February the 14th that I changed my direction and went forward. And you want to know what kept me going to the bathroom? I was afraid of what people thought of me. My mom got saved on soul winning. My stepmother got saved on soul winning. My brother got saved by the youth pastor. I was bringing friends to church and winning bicycles and giving the Bible. Had a shirt and tie. They assumed I was saved. But you know, when invitation time came, I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was going to go to that place called hell. I had no peace. When the preacher would talk about the rapture, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, run to my mom's room and see if she was still there. But I couldn't take it no more. I was tired. I was wore out. And tonight, Christian, aren't you tired? Aren't you just wore out playing the game? Putting on the dog and pony show? Why don't you tonight just say, hell's not worth it. Hell's not worth it. I want to be saved. And come tonight, and gnashing of teeth, number three. Right before we moved down here, something that changed my life forever happened to my family and I. We lived about from 287, probably half a mile down the road from it. All the family was sitting on the front porch or playing in the front yard. Heavy traffic goes through Wichita Falls, Vernon, all the way through Colorado. Electra was a tweener town. You go tween it to go to and fro where you're going. And so as we were sitting there, the Air Force base, they would do their trainers on the T-35s around our house. Well, one day, all of a sudden, we saw this huge plume of smoke and a loud explosion. It was loud and it went up in the air. I said, Alicia, an airplane just crashed and I'm heading that way. And so I got in the car, I took off, and then they got in the car and they were going to follow behind me, get Cheyenne in there. I said, you call 911 and I'm heading right over there because you could see the smoke. But when I got there, to my unbelief, it was not an airplane crash. What had happened was there was a man who was preoccupied with something. I'm not sure was in a Suburban traveling this way on 287. A semi-truck was on their way coming back this way towards Wichita Falls. The man at 90 miles an hour turned his SUV, went up the rail, flew in the air and hit the semi-truck in the front cab. Spun and split the SUV inside, severed him in half on the road. As I was running up to the scene, cars were back. The car was engulfed in flames here. I was over here by the semi-truck and I was running up. I parked my car in a wheat field and jumped over the fence and headed towards the highway. As I ran past body parts of the guy in the SUV, looked at his upper torso. He was gone. He was dead. So I then run over to where I hear screaming out of the cab of a semi-truck that's laying on its side with the trailer turned sideways. There were flames coming from the backside of the semi-truck, coming up through the window and out the hitting the front glass, and smoke was billowing out. Diesel fuel was on the side, dropping straight down onto the ground, and a refrigerator unit on the back of the truck was whining like a helicopter blade, was spinning very loud on the back. At the same time, there was an ambulance coming from Vernon, transporting a patient to Wichita Falls, and the EMT was running over to the window. We come over to the window of the truck, and we started yelling, "Sir, can you hear me?" All we could hear in the truck was, "Get me out! Get me out! I'm on fire!" We said, "All right." The EMT started yelling at the other truckers who were backing up down 287, and people were coming out with their cell phones and taking pictures. They started screaming, "Fire extinguisher! Fire extinguisher!" The truckers started coming by and they started throwing us the fire extinguishers. I tried to reach inside the window on the ground and I was sticking my hands inside the truck. I said, "Just grab onto my arm, because if you just grab on, maybe I can pull you up." See, the engine had pushed itself on top of the man who's laying sideways in his seat. He's strapped in and he's stuck. All of a sudden, a burst of flame came inside the truck and it pushed me back. And then the EMT came and said, "Let me go in." He goes into the window and he tries to pull him out. During this whole time, he's screaming, "Get me out of here." And I ran to the front window. I started kicking as hard as I could up against that glass just to get into him. For you see, that little window was so small and he was so far back. We finally got the window busted. And the EMT said, "I'll spray and you go." And then I'd go in. The smoke would be so thick, I'd have to come out. He would go in. I would spray. And as he was burning on fire, I would grab a hold of him and his flesh would peel off. As I was holding on to him, he started to grit his teeth. One of the worst sounds that still live with me to this day. See, it's not like when your children sleep in your lap or your husband or wife grit their teeth when they sleep and you hear that sawing sound. It's such an antagonizing sound as they're groaning and as they're moaning in so much pain as he burnt alive right there. And as I kept trying to go, the EMT pulled me back. The firefighter said, "Get back, it's about to blow up." And right when they pulled us back, the refrigerator unit on the truck exploded. A big ball of fire came up. And then that's when I saw my family. And reality hit me. I could have died today and left my family behind. But you know, it may have been worth it for just one soul. It may have been worth it for one soul not to have the agony of hearing the gritted of teeth, the wailing of pain as he kept screaming, "Somebody save me." And as I live with that physical reminder every day is a spiritual reminder. Guys, it's not a joke when we go Saturday. It's not a game when I go Thursday. This is real.
from the little girl to the lesbian to the Muslim. One of the things that break my heart is that I don't have enough discipline to learn Spanish to help a soul that's dying and going to hell. But yet, we sit passive, Christians, as we forget about this idea that there's really an eternal hell. See, there's no relief of hell. There's no purgatory from hell. And there is no timeouts. God, do over! Time out! Do over! I see the bright light! Okay, God, just send me back one more time. I promise to live better and to do good. It's not works of righteousness. That's not going to save you from this horrible torment. For you see, there's only going to be one time that this soul will ever feel relief from hell. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, verse number 12. For you see, when you're cast into hell, it is eternal and it is forever. But the Bible talks about the great white throne judgment of God. And look at what happens here. As the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And this sea, my friend, is not the oceans that we're talking about, but a sea of a lake of fire. And death and hell were delivered up with them, were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. For you see, can you imagine that soul that's screaming, "Dear God, save me!" And he's burning, he's on fire, and he's falling, and he's being eaten, and he's rubbing up against people in hell. My family is doing that. But then one day they stand before God, and they figure out, I'm not burning anymore. I'm not on fire. God, is he going to give me another chance? And he stands before God. Look up and see if Alan Little is in the book. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen this way. I have my idea of Alan theology here. And as he goes to that book and the name is not found, he may be cast, I may be cast to the lake of fire if I'm an unsaved person. But my question is this. Will we be there? And as that soul is being cast out, will he look up and say, I worked with you. Wait, God! I worked with you! You are a Christian. God, send him to hell. Send him to hell. Not me. Send him to hell. Hey, I went to school with him. He had a Bible. He wrote that church fan. Send him. Will it happen that way? You know what? I don't want to know. I don't care. I want to prevent that from happening. And that's the goal of church. That's the goal of ministry. To be mission-minded like this man is in hell. Not when it's too late. Not when there's not enough time. But now when we can have an effect on this world and on our city. We see the torments of hell. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And let me close with this. We see the regret in hell. We see the regret for the objection to truth. People in hell today are regretting that they turned down the Savior, Jesus Christ. We also see regret in the opportunity to share the gospel with their family. See, the rich man here wasn't concerned about his work buddies, was he? He wasn't worried about his neighbors, nor was he worried about the party that he just had at the house where the crumbs fell off his table. He was worried about one thing, and that was his family. How dare you call yourself a Christian and you won't even tell your family about Christ? You want to be so braggadocious about what you do, who you are, and what you do at the church, but yet you won't even share the gospel with your own children, with your own mother, with your own aunt, your own uncle. I'm too shy, I'm too timid. Too shy, too timid to send someone to hell, and you know the truth? He was concerned about his family. He said, I have five brethren. It might be remarkable to note that as Jesus Christ was talking to this group of people, could it possibly have been that
those brethren might have been within ear's range to hear the story. We'll never know. But he regretted not sharing the opportunity. But my friend, I don't leave you with bad news. Let me leave you with something that keeps me smiling every day, even though there is a hell. Even though that there is a hell that people will die and go to, look at this, the rescue from hell. There's a thing called the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I ran home that February 14th, I ran in the door and I said, Mama, I need to know how I can go to heaven when I die. My mama, being a new Christian, just looked at me and said, Baby, I don't know what to tell you. All I know what to tell you is what happened to me. I said, Well, tell me what happened to you. And she took this Bible and turned to the wonderful book of Romans, amen, and told me about this wonderful road that I could just follow. The road that led to Calvary. A road that led to an empty tomb. A road that led to a Savior that rose again. A road that led to a Savior who's going to come back for me one day. Because I am chosen, because I am blessed, because I am saved, because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And one day, I won't be like the rich man, but one day, I'll be like Lazarus, and I will be comforted. Amen? You know what? These guys are a bunch of knuckleheads that die, and they go to heaven, and they want to come back to the world. Well, excuse me, I want to stay, Jesus. You know what? I don't want to go back to this old world. As the old song goes, this world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. Amen? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My friend, my treasures that I'm laying up in heaven is not gold or silver. The treasures that I want to lay up are souls that I can take to Jesus. They're boys and girls and teenagers, men and women. They're elderly folks that grew up in a lie of a religion. They get saved right before they die on their deathbed. That is what the treasure is that I'm trying to lay up. I'm not trying to lay up a 401k. I'm not trying to lay up a boat. I'm not trying to lay up a house. Bless God, I'm trying to lay up souls to keep them out of hell. Are you with me? You're trying to keep souls out of hell. Because guess what? We have life. And we have it abundant. Three things and I'm done, Christians. We have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you. What did you write to me, Jesus? The Word of God. That you may know. That you might gnosko. Amen. That you might know that you have eternal life. Amen. I love the little verse that comes after that. He that hath the Son hath life. Simple on the other side. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And some of you in this room tonight, you don't have life. It's written in your eyes, it's seen in your walk, and it's watched in your actions. You think you're fooling somebody, and the only thing you're fooling is yourself, the fool that's said in his heart. Why don't you stop playing the game tonight and get saved? And see this abundant life that we have. We have eternal life next. We have the life and example. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put on a bushel, but on a candlestick that may give light unto all that are in the house. We are to be an example to the world. And that's where the challenge is tonight. How many souls are going to be affected for heaven's sake because of you? How many souls? You've been a member here at Metropolitan for 20 years now. Well, out of that 20 years, how many souls are going to be in your fish basket when you take it to Jesus? You may be a member here for a week. Well, let me ask you a question. How many souls are going to be in your fish basket? Well, I don't know where to start, Brother Allen. Start with your family. Amen. Your family won't hear you? Then go out to a world that is dying. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. There's no excuse not to give someone the gospel. There's no excuse not to give someone a track. For you see, if you can't do it, you know somebody who does know it and send them their way. Is that not what we do with Brother Martin? The Martins. Is that not what we do for Brother G'day? We cannot go to Thailand. That's not our ministry. Our ministry is here, but yet we equip them. Would to God we would better equip our saints on the field. What's it to you? You know what it's to me? A hell that's real. As my heart broke for this Malaysian airplane that crashed, as my mind was averted back to that fiery crash of a truck, how many souls burnt in airliner fluid that we know they don't have a gospel in Thailand?
that we know that they don't have a gospel in Amsterdam. That 90% of those souls, and I'm being positive, went to hell. What to God that we'd be an example.
And lastly, an extraordinary life. Turn to 1 Peter.
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9.
I like this Bible verse.
Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. Amen. Bless God, you weren't the last one to be picked on this team. You're God's MVP, baby. Look at this. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. And if you have a pen, a highlighter, or whatever you do with your Bible, or a cell phone Bible, Brother Evans, look at this. A peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have been saved. But my friend, the word that I want to focus on is to be an extraordinary life, which is peculiar. See, it's funny. People will dress up like a cow to go get a hamburger. But we laugh, right? But they won't dress up like that to get a soul saved. Yeah, you'll dress up like a cow to go get a chicken sandwich. But when we ask you to come to Vacation Bible School, and I may be nitpicking here. We ask you to do, oh, that's asking too much of me to wear a soccer outfit, Brother Allen. See, our priorities are a little messed up. You know, I can't do that, Brother Allen, because I don't got time to. And it's funny, we see you walking around Walmarts. See, Brother Curtis and I was going to play a joke on the teenagers. And we put some recording devices around the church and we were going to record them talking and stuff. And it was amazing what we found some of you adults talking about. And tonight I was going to play that for you so that you could hear what was happening. And I am totally joking. You should see your faces right now. But it's funny where our priority is, isn't it? We're a peculiar people. Now let me tell you this. You want to know why we're peculiar? Because we don't have to pretend. We're not of this world. We're aliens. We're different because we're saved and we're sanctified. And why do we do what we do? Because there's a burning hell. And here's my conclusion, folks. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. You can talk to my wife. Pastor asked me to preach. I tried to preach a happy sermon. I tried to go with something to encourage, Pastor. The Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. And when that airplane went down, I was like, time is short. Time is too short. Brother Gaday's going to be here a short time. The Martins. Time is short. We got to get busy with this. But then something hit me. There's somebody in this church that's not saved. Because I see it. Others see it. And you're just fooling yourself. Folks, there is a hell. People are going there. We've got to do something about it. There was this mama and daddy who raised a family of 7 children. And they loved their children. They raised them up in church. And they all went through Sunday school, youth department, became adults, and they grew up. Well, the dad had died and went on to glory, and now it was mama's time to die, and she's laying there in hospice. She's laying inside of the bed, and every night while the kids were at home, and even when they would come over to visit, she would always kiss them on the forehead and said, good night, darling. I love you, and I'll see you in the morning. She'd do that every night to them. Well, as she laid there in hospice, the doctor came in and said, it's almost time. You can tell by her breathing. She's modeling a little bit in her legs. It's time for you to go in and say goodbye to your mom. The oldest son came in and looked down at her and said, Mama, I sure do love you. Good night. I'll see you in the morning. And she kissed him on the forehead. For you see, he said, when I see you in the morning meant that I'll see you in heaven, because she knew her baby had gotten saved. The second oldest daughter came in. She looked down at Mama and said, Mama, I love you. Mama looked up at her eyes and grabbed her cheeks and said, darling, I love you. I love you so much, and I'll see you in the morning, and kissed her forehead, and she walked out of the room.
the third son came in and was weeping, and she said, "Baby, come here." He sat down on the bed, and she said, "I love you, son." And said, "Come here closer to Mama." 30-year-old boy bent down. She kissed him on the forehead, looked at him, and says, "Baby, I love you. I'll see you in the morning." The progression went for the fourth and fifth child. The sixth daughter came in. She was just uncontrollable crying. And she says, "Mama, I love you so much, and I just don't want you to go, Mama. I love you." And Mama said, "I'm going to be okay." She says, "Give Mama a kiss." And as she bent down, Mama said, "Good night, darling. I love you, and I'll see you in the morning." Then the youngest son came in. 21-year-old boy comes inside the hospice room. The other siblings sitting across the wall with their families gathered together for this special moment. And as this last son came in, he said, "Mama," being the baby, said, "I love you so much. I don't want you to go, but I love you." She said, "Come here, baby. Let me kiss you." She reached up and she kissed him on the forehead and said, "Goodbye. I love you." The youngest son stepped back for a second and said, "But Mama, don't you have something else you want to tell me?" And Mama says, "No, darling, I love you. And goodbye." He said, "But Mama, you told sister, you told brother that you'll see them in the morning. Please tell me that you'll see me in the morning." And Mama laying in the bed with a smile, had a tear come down her eye. And she said, "Baby, I sure would love to tell you I'll see you in the morning, but I can't, darling, because I know I'm not going to see you in the morning." He was like, "Mama, please tell me how I can see you in the morning. I want to see you, Mama." And she said, "Baby, I think you know how you can see me." He looked back at his oldest brother and says, "I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I want to know Jesus as my Savior." And there the pastor in the room said, "I want you to sit right here next to Mama." Mama picked up her hand, was put on top of that baby's hand as that pastor took that little New Testament and showed that boy. That boy couldn't see a verse of Scripture, his tears running down his face. And there he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he reached over and he gave Mama a hug. And as the breath was coming out of her mouth, she whispered in his ear, "Good night, baby. I'll see you in the morning." She closed her eyes and she went to glory. Christian, tonight, you're like that child. You know about religion. You've been trained right. You've done right. You've now heard tonight the penalty for sin is hell. You cannot be unaccountable now. Tonight, you must make the decision. Are you willing to embrace the Savior? Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them. Snatch them. Take an offensive stance for the souls of men and women. Snatch them from pity, from sin in the grave. Weep over that erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. A mission-minded man in hell motivated this sermon. Heavenly Father, Your word has gone forth. Holy Spirit, would You engage our hearts? Energize our work and help us reach souls for the gospel of Christ. Tonight in this room, we have men and women who've sacrificed their life to a mission field. Energize their work. Sunday school teachers and helpers in this room tonight, help them to rescue the perishing. Heavenly Father, give us the strength. But tonight, Lord, for that one who is not saved, do not pass them by. Do not stop the pressure. And dear God, please continue to call so they would be saved. This is Your invitation. We turn it to you now for what you'll do. Father, thank you for Satan. Thank you for allowing me to miss out on this place called hell and giving me a comfort. In your name we pray. Amen. If you need to do business with God tonight, I would not delay. Don't run to the bathroom. Don't stay frozen in your seat. But if you need to do business with God, go the right direction. The altar is open. A Savior now awaits. Brother John.
Page 163. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen. I guess I thank you. No powerful word this evening. Certainly a challenge to us here on a Sunday night. Metropolitan Baptist Church. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The idea of the word persuade is that we do all we can to convince them. And we know that God is the one that saves, but as well we know that we're responsible. One of the greatest fears to my heart is that accusation that I might hear. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be faithful in our witness. Brother Gary, could you?
Gary Carl, it's not the same thing to, I would say that we're in a return to the membership here to the Metropolitan Baptist Church, the Baptist Church, to in that way, but come by a letter of recommendation for the Baptist Church in Allen, Texas.
Of course, is in your bulletins, or it's page 238.
Jesus included me. Yes, He included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, He included me. Jesus included me. Yes, He included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, He included me.